Toward the south of the current day Wasoga Kingdom, there was a king who loved playing on swings. Yes, swings as in the swings that you used to enjoy as a child. Heck, swings are still fun even as an adult. And this king would very much agree. But he took it a little too far, and was more concerned with swinging than looking after his subjects. They asked him to rule them, decide their cases, they asked him to provide them with food and gifts, and yet, he couldn't be bothered. Swinging was the only thing he cared about doing. It's a small wonder he was called Musubo, which means he that swings. His actual name is probably lost to history. Until one day, a man named Kakaide arrived with an entourage of people. He set up his palace at a place called Wukoi, and talked to the people there, and they told him their needs. They wanted meat. And when it comes to the Basoga and their meat, hey, they love meat. Well, it just so happened that Kakaide was an excellent hunter, and getting meat was not a problem. He hunted all sorts of animals in the wild lands of Wasoga, and people enjoyed the meat that he provided. In the beginning, some probably used to the scarcity of meat would fight each other for it, and Kakaide would say, "Don't fight. If you need more, I can get you more." To go along with the food that he would provide, he gave them alcohol as well. He even judged them when they had disputes. It wasn't long before the people in the land began to openly say, "Ah, we want to live with Kakaide. He is the only one who provides us with drink and meat. The other one just goes on swinging." Legend doesn't tell us of Musubo's reaction to the people's displeasure. All it says is that he was deposed and Kakaide took over. This was the beginning of the Abaisemena clan and their state of Bugweri. Kakaide ruled for a while and people liked him, but he grew to miss his home. So he decided that he wanted to go back. The people begged him to stay. They said, "Stay and judge us when we fight, because you are a good man and you give us meat freely." Kakaide then said to them, "You want me to stay, but I have no wife." "We shall give you one," they said. Kakaide asked them if they knew the girl he liked. They said they didn't, but that he should tell them. Kakaide told them that it was Nakaziba of the Abaisekaziba clan. And just like that, Kakaide stayed. He married her, and she became pregnant with a child called Mina. And when he looked at the boy, he decided that he would take over after his death. It was said that Kakaide came from Bunyoro, and he was one of the sons of Mukama. Yeah, the Mukama, the atomic figure that we've talked about for the past few episodes. Kakaide had traveled to the region with a number of clans and three of his brothers. These were Magola, Okali, and Ndochi. Ndochi split off and founded his own clan, the Abaise Mugwere of Bugwere Chiefdom. Okali, on the other hand, eventually came to be the founder of the state of Mukoli. He also traveled with his sister Chitimbo. Unfortunately, it is said that the brother Magola died during the journey. And it was after the death that Kakaide took over the clan. They then continued on their way to Wukoi. After settling down for a while, Okali left with his sister Chitimbo and settled at a place called Namakoko. And this place, Mukama, his father, had stayed before. It was said that here, Okali committed the unthinkable and slept with his own sister. Chitimbo became pregnant. And when Kakaide heard about this, he was very furious with his brother. Okali sent word to his brother saying that he wanted to come visit him. Kakaide was so insulted by this that he sent an army to stop the approach of Okali, literally saying,
"Do not come. Do not come."
"I'm gonna come."
Well, he didn't come himself, but he did send some messengers to get banana leaves at his brother's place for some reason. Like, bro, they grow everywhere in Uganda. You can literally go out and pick one. Maybe not at the time. I don't have to tell you that it was a bad idea, because he severely underestimated how upset Kakaide was. He killed the messengers, which sucked to be those guys. From then on, the two brothers avoided each other their whole lives. The Abaisa Wakoli actually began to practice a ritual of sending people to Ugweri to pick up banana leaves whenever a leader died. The men sent would then be put to death, just like the first ones were. This was done in order to bless the new ruler and ensure that no harm would befall him. Very, very morbid stuff. Chitimbo gave birth to a girl who was named Kaguya, which translates to "the one who sinned against the clan." Apparently, it's said that their descendants eventually forgot about this incident and then started intermarrying. However, there's no evidence to show that Kakaide and Okali were actually siblings. According to David Cohen's research, the two clans came from two different streams of Luo migrations. The clans don't share any birth or death customs. They don't have the same names for men. They also have different totems. Not to mention their descendants eventually started marrying each other. It seems as though this story was used more to explain why these two groups of people did not associate with each other. In any case, Kakaide lived into his old age. One source states that this is where he got his name, Kakaide. People would tease him by saying, Kanakasa da Kakaide, which meant, this man has gotten old. Kakaide suddenly fell ill and died at a place called Wangobo. A deep grave was dug for him, and they buried his body wrapped in bark cloth. The grave was left uncovered because there were certain things that needed to be acquired from Bunyoro in order to complete the burial. 3 days passed until on the fourth day, while people were mourning at the grave, the sky suddenly darkened. A strong wind came upon the place and a whirlwind appeared. The trees were shaken as it rotated about the place. Dust covered the area to the point that no one could see. When the wind stopped and the dust settled, Kakaire's body was gone, and some say they saw it lift up into the sky and head in the direction of Bunyoro. After 8 days, a large stone was found in the grave where the body should have been. From then on, the Abaisemina apparently worshipped the stone. Mr. Timbulukia, a member of the ruling family of Bugweri, told historian David Cohen that it was because of this that every person who died had to have their graves facing Bunyoro, because that was where Kakaide was from. Kakaide was succeeded by his children. One after another they ruled. But it is the one they called Mina that is of particular interest. As you can no doubt see, Mina shares the name of the clan, and it was because of him that the clan's name was changed. Another source states that actually Mina was a title given to Kakaide, which meant that he had broken away from his father's kingdom in Bunyoro, because the name Mina means to break. It isn't outright stated as to what exactly made him so significant, but I can take a guess from some of the things that were said about him. It was said that Mina had a lot of children. His children apparently filled the whole of Bugweri. This is probably an exaggeration, but like other Basoka leaders, he received wives from a lot of clans. Each would bear him a child or children. One source stated that he had 36 kids. Another stated that he had 50 of them. Whichever the case, it was more than his father Kakaide had. And having a lot of children was always a sign of prosperity among the Interlacustrine states. But it was also said that Mina was a very large man. So large, in fact, that he became physically helpless. He was unable to walk. It was said that the Basoga had never seen a man that large, so a litter was constructed for him. Mina would be helped onto this litter and then carried to wherever he needed to go. For example, he would be lifted to the audience hall where he would hear the cases of his people. Mina was then given the nickname Mino Wechibedi, which means Mina of the litter. He was also a very generous leader. When he was in the audience hall after hearing the people's cases, he would shower them with gifts, which no doubt made him very popular. Gift-giving and feasting were common ways rulers in pre-colonial Ugandan states showed appreciation. We can see this was the case in Bunyoro as well. In the 1950s, some informants would comment that the king no longer had feasts, and that they felt they were being asked to give more and more, but were not getting much in return. So it was an important value in these societies, and it made Mina a favorite among the people. Mina ruled for a long time and died as an old man. This was at the close of the 18th century. And before he passed, he split Bugweri into two parts, since it had apparently grown too large. The northern part kept the old name Bugweri and was given to his son, Wanumu. The southern part was called Buyende and was given to another son of his called Nalugoda. And this was the beginning of the civil wars and the fracturing of the state. By the mid-19th century, Bugweri would split into two more parts, making it four in total. I know, right? But it wasn't quite to the same level as Buzimachiguru. Buyende, as I mentioned before, was ruled by Nalugoda, but he passed away and his brother, Obira, took over. Okay, so things start to get a little bit confusing because we know that Bugweri was divided into four parts, but we have a succession line that doesn't exactly show who was Mina at what point. What I mean is that we don't get years or months. All we get is that so-and-so ruled, and then this person took over. The way I look at it is that the ones listed are the ones who were considered to be Mina at a certain time, because to be Mina meant you had to complete certain ritual rites. So if you did, then you had the title. Those who didn't are just considered contestants. Because we see this in the case of Obira. His brother Wanume was the rightful heir, but in order to become Mina, he had to go to a place called Buongo where he would complete the ritual rites such as cutting off his hair. Obira sprung into action and stopped Wanume from reaching Buongo. It doesn't say how he did it or for how long he was able to hold him, but eventually Wanume was named Mina and is listed as the 8th ruler of the state. Obira is listed as the 9th. The second part that Bugwere was split into was called Bukasenke, and it was ruled by a man called Walanda. Not much is said about him. Another source says that Nalugwada ruled Bukasenke at some point. It's all a little confusing, but what we know about this breakaway state is that they had a tree of incredible ritual significance. It was believed that it was what was behind their military success. Well, this is what Prince Chiyuba, the ruler of Bufulutu, another breakaway state, believed. 3 times he had been defeated in battle. And so he said enough was enough. He ordered his men to go there and cut that tree down at night. They went with axes and brought it down. Do you think it worked? Nope. Instead, it angered the warriors of Bukasenke so much that they retaliated. And this time, going into battle, they painted their faces such that it looked like they had no noses. When Juba's men met the warriors in the field, they laughed at them, calling them the Hornbill Army, because a hornbill looks like it has no nose. In a weird twist of karma, the Bukasenke warriors attacked with such fury and won. They also turned the joke back on their enemies and cut off all the noses and ears of every enemy they could get their hands on. Chiyuba lost and retreated. It was called the Battle of Kinganga, or Hornbill, so that would be the Battle of the Hornbill. It was a devastating loss and one that the Abai Semina remember. But Chiyuba eventually conquered Bukasenke. The third state to come from Bugweri was one called Bufulutu, and this is the one that Prince Chiyuba rules, or ruled. Chiyuba translates to the sun, and how he got this name was after defeating one of his brothers. He then proclaimed, "I am the sun. It's beautiful in the morning and everyone likes it. But come noon, everyone fears it." Which spoke to his dual side. Everyone liked him when he first became leader, but once he became their enemy, like the noon sun, he would burn them with fury. Chiyuba sounded like a very confident guy. Out of all the competing princes, he seems to have the most remembered about him, at least in terms of battles. But Chiyuba was about to regret giving himself that name. After his victory over Bukasenke, Chiyuba turned his attention to Prince Kakaede Nandigobe of the 4th breakaway state of Naigomwa, or sometimes referred to as Lugoda. Nandigobe heard that Chiyuba was coming for him and went into home alone trap mode. He collected many of his people and ordered them to gather as many thorns as they could find. They used baskets to collect them. The thorns were spread out onto the paths and places that Chiyuba's army would be passing. Kakaede Nandigobe engaged Chiyuba in battle, and the plan was to pretend to retreat, have them give chase, and then lead them in the direction of the thorn-covered paths. It worked. Chiyuba's men ran after the retreating soldiers, only to be ambushed by more of Nandigobe's men. This forced Chiyuba's men to split into 2 directions in order to escape. But it didn't matter. Chiyuba's men ran headfirst into the trap. They stepped on and fell into the thorns, and wherever they fell, Nandigobe's men were there to spear them and impale them. And again, Chiyuba lost that fight. Nandigobe mocked him by changing his saying to, "I am the cloud. People may fear the sun at noon, but the cloud covers the sun." He then named himself Chireri, which means cloud. These people had jokes, man. Bugweri would not be united until the 20th century by Menankolo, the son of Chiyuba. He was appointed to this position by the British after replacing his exiled nephew, Munulo. Munulo was exiled because he fought on the side of the Nubians during their mutiny against the English overlords. I talk more about this mutiny in the podcast episode titled Kabalega, but the breakdown of that event is this. The Nubians had been brought to Uganda by Emin Pasha to assist in his endeavors as commanded by the Khedive of Egypt. Many were left in the country when Emin Pasha withdrew due to the Mahdist rebellion in Sudan. They then came to be in service of the British and were used to subjugate Ugandan kingdoms until their mutiny in 1897. The Nubians freed a number of prisoners at a fort called Bukaleba, where Munulo was a prisoner. In exchange for making him the king of all Busoga states, the Nubians asked Prince Munulo to provide his army. He did, but they couldn't fulfill that promise because, unfortunately, the rebellion was crushed and Munula was subsequently exiled to Nairobi. Hence, Nkolo, the son of Chiuba, was appointed. Except he too was deposed, following accusations of property theft, monetary theft, and imposing heavy fines on his own people. Okay, so this brings us to 1900, and this is where we conclude the pre-colonial history of the Abai Semina of Ugweri. Thank you so much for listening, for those on the podcast, and for those who watched, thank you so much for watching. My name is David Ibanda, and this is the show, Those Who Came Before Us. Peace.